What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 295, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With is my co-host adjusting his microphone. Ryan, what's going on?
Not much. You sound, I feel like your mic sounds like it's a little closer to you tonight. So you're sounding extra good.
Well, okay, there's a couple things.
All right.
One,
some changes, huh?
Yeah, some major changes. You guys can't see it in the frame here. But there was like a little cart over here that had all my networking stuff. It's now over here, which you also cannot see if you're watching this. But it's over here now, and we are directly I'm not using Wi-Fi anymore. I'm directly plugged in because I actually went back and was listening to our podcast. And it was like, I think you had said it a couple times, like I was cutting out a little bit and things like that. So we're directly plugged in now, like the fullest of the full speed that I can get here.
Okay.
Instead of using Wi-Fi, even though the Wi-Fi was fast, but Wi-Fi is all about, it's not about the actual speed. It's about the, I guess, consistency on Wi-Fi. So we're directly plugged in, which is really good. But yeah, I completely like cleaned this entire office, which was much needed. You ever like everything just gets cluttered and you can't focus? So I cleaned everything in here, which was nice. And that's when I did all that, moved everything. And yeah, cool. So hopefully I don't sound as choppy as I did. I know it's like the last couple episodes I sounded decently bad. Sorry. It's still there. I'm still cleaning out.
It's still there. Yeah.
How's this possible? Maybe it's my computer. I mean, I have been having these computer issues as well.
Yeah, you have.
Which I thought I could have solved because this is an XLR microphone going into USB device, and I've been having USB
issues. Yeah.
So hopefully,
I still be having them.
Yeah, this whole thing is a mystery, and like we're supposed to be the experts on computers, and we can't figure this out.
We'll get it.
Yeah, so but hopefully sound at least a little bit better. I'll go re-listen to this later and we'll see how that goes. But anyways, let's talk tech, let's talk reviews. First up this week, I took a look at a very cool case, Mini ITX case, which of course Mini ITX is extremely popular because it's a smaller footprint, which I think a lot of people do appreciate. I know some people love the big cases, but a lot of people want something small. They want something that's going to fit on a smaller desk or, you know. So that's why, you know, Mini ITX is pretty popular. So I went ahead and I took a look at the Thermaltake, the Tower 100. And they initially came out with a case a little while back, came in black and white colors. Mm-hmm. And now it's available in three extra special edition colors, the metallic gold, racing green, which I took a look at, and turquoise. And I think the colors they're a lot different than your typical color that you would see with a case, I would say, especially the metallic gold is like gold. This racing green is like a darker green. I'll go ahead and show it to you guys. It's like I said, it's just like a darker green color. But I think it's different and I think it's cool.
It's almost a forest green, but not quite as dark, I'd say, right?
Yeah, not quite as dark, but yeah, it's like a...
It is cool, though. I like this.
But the whole idea with the Tower 100, it's basically a tiny or smaller version of Thermaltake's the Tower 900, which was a massive, this huge monstrosity of a case, crazy for water cooling builds and all of that. And they basically turned that into a Mini ITX case. And a lot of people say that it looks like a 3D printer, and it kind of does. If you know what a 3D printer looks like, I mean, this is kind of what it looks like. But you have room inside for Mini ITX motherboards, obviously full-size ATX power supplies, graphics cards, up to 330 millimeters, which is pretty much is, I think the graphics card that I installed was 323 millimeters. So, I mean, and that's a really big card. So lots of room, up to four hard drives in here as well, two included fans. You have one at the top of the case, and then you have one, there's one at the top of the case, And then you have one at the rear back here. All the panels come off of the case, making it very easy to do your installation. Now, I would say this case is a little bit larger than your typical Mini ITX. A lot of Mini ITX cases, they're made to be tiny, right? This is definitely not as large as a normal mid-tower case, but it's definitely not as small as a more compact Mini ITX case, which I kind of like, because most Mini ITX cases, they're just made to be small and there's no way to show off your hardware. And we live in an era now where everything's RGB and we want to show off what's inside our PC. And this gives you the ability to do that in the Mini ITX form factor, which I really like. And as far as, like, you know, internally, it's a pretty basic design. It basically has a two compartment design, with the main compartment here that's going to house your motherboard and your graphics card. And then you have this kind of, like, I guess you would call it a power supply cover. It's kind of weird, but power supply cover here. And then the bottom is where your power supply goes. You have two SSD mounts that go on this one side of the case. These are removable, so easy installation there. There's also a panel on the back here that's removable, and you can fit two 2.5-inch SSDs or a single 3.5-inch hard drive on there. If you install a 3.5-inch hard drive, the rear fan won't fit, so you'd have to remove the rear fan of the case if you did that. But I think most people are going for SSDs these days. You can see the bottom there where your power supply goes in and everything. It's a pretty well thought out case. Installation for me was pretty easy. I actually installed an AIO, so this supports up to 120 millimeter AIO. I installed one of Thermaltake AIOs, went in very easily. You can see installing SSD on those removable brackets and then putting them right back in. Pretty easy there. Power supply just slides in from the back, which I like. You can see a graphics card. So you can see, I mean, this is probably one of the largest 3060s out there. This is the MSI. Gaming X Trio, which is huge for 3060. And yeah, went in no problem. You can see the graphics card mounts vertically in there. This does support, it will support a slotted two slot card, but the space is long enough for, I think, up to a three slot card, but just the slots in the top is only two. So if you have a three slot, it wouldn't go in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that cutout too, like that allows for those longer graphics cards, right? You've got that cutout there.
You have a cutout there, and I guess you would call it the power supply cover, so you can fit the longest graphics cards there. As far as, like, cable routing, again, Mini ITX, you're not going to have a ton of cable routing. It was easy enough to route everything. The one kind of weird thing that I did have is, if you're looking at the video here, you can see the power supply goes in from the back, and then you constantly have to wrap cables around. I know that this is kind of the only way that they could get support for a full ATX power supply. But if the power supply somehow went in from the side, it would be easier to wrap cables because you don't have a whole lot of room on top of the power supply to wrap cables around. And then your graphics card basically takes up the entire other side of the case where you could wrap everything around. So it just made things a little bit more tedious to do all your cable routing. But overall, the build's pretty easy to do. Also, the other thing I do have to say is that it would have been nice if Thermaltake included either like a splitter for the fans, because most Mini ITX motherboards have two fan headers, CPU fan header, and then just one other fan header. And we use a B550 motherboard, like, you know, so it's new. Only two headers, one for the CPU fan and one for an optional fan. So I'd use a splitter to use the other fans, which I had, but not a lot of people do. It'd just been nice if that was included with the case, because out of the box, most people are going to need one of those headers for their CPU cooler. And then you have two included fans here. You can't daisy chain them. They're not like the fans that allow you to do that. So you're kind of screwed unless you have a splitter or a fan hub. do. So you don't have that there. So it would have been nice if they had that. But like I said, our build came out really nice. You can see, you know, whatever you have in here, if it's RGB, it's going to light up. Or if you, even if you just had like a single RGB strip at the top, it would look excellent. It would light up the entire thing. It looks good from all sides. You can see that tons of ventilation all around too. The cooling wasn't as bad as I thought. When you get into Mini ITX, the cooling sometimes can be pretty bad, but it wasn't all that bad, to be honest. Good cooling results for that. And this AIO did a great job. It would have been nice based on the size of the case, though, to support up to at least a 240. I know you could do that on the sides or even the back somehow to have mounting for a larger AIO, because 120 is extremely limited. And there's a lot of Mini ITX cases that actually will support up to a 240. So that was a little bit limiting there. But overall, I like the case. It's really cool. I really like the colors. That's kind of the big thing with this is the unique color. You're not going to find many cases that are stock this color. And what's really nice is that Thermaltake has made special editions of their Tough Ram that match the special edition colors of this case. They have the Tough Ram in the gold, the turquoise, and the green, if you really wanted to match all of your components together, which you definitely could do. So definitely check it out. It's only $119, which I think is a good deal for what you're getting to. The fans, the included fans, aren't the best either. They're a little bit loud, and they're only a 3-pin. They're not a 4-pin.
So with the fan at the back, how is it venting that or pulling that air? Is it like just pulling from the back of your motherboard area?
Yeah. So let me go back in the review. So the fan's going to sit here.
Yep.
Well, it's,
but on, know, the it's other on the side fan. Of it is going to be your motherboard.
Yeah. So right? that's just kind of what it's pulling.
Okay.
It's not, and it, like, again, it would have been nice to have a bottom fan, right?
Sure.
To basically go up.
Yeah.
So you would have, yeah.
Instead of just pulling in from those openings, but okay.
Yeah, but based on the cooling, based on my results, I mean, it's not bad. I think it's just because it's a little bit bigger of a case, right? You have a little bit more room.
Yep.
All your components are super jammed together, which you
get. Breathe a little more than a standard.
Yeah, Mini and ITX. You do have, I mean, even the side panels, which I showed you here, like if you look at the side panels where your graphics card is and stuff, and on the other side, you do have a lot of room for this case to breathe, right? You have ventilation all through the bottom and on the sides, also on the top as well. So you have, there's a lot more room for air to get in and out of case, and just more room for your components in general compared to a lot of Mini ITX cases. So I think it's a good case. It's priced well. And I think my biggest thing with this is if you're somebody who wants a smaller build, but you want to show off your components, you want people to see what's in your case, this is going to be one of the few that allows you to do that, and still has good cooling on top of that. So yeah. So check out that review for sure. And I took a look at another Gen 4 NVMe SSD. This is Crucial's P5 Plus, which of course is the upgrade to the original P5. It is completely in-house from Crucial or Micron. If you don't know, Micron owns Crucial. So the controller is built by them. Of course, the NAND is from them as well. Features 176 layer TLC NAND on there, and yeah, it's again these NVMe drives, it's all about the speed. This is not the fastest Gen 4 drive that we've tested. I will just take you to the results because I'm sure that's what you guys care about. Let's go to the comparisons here. So if we look at the comparisons to all the other Gen 4 drives, I would say this drive sits right in the middle of the pack. You can see, you know, 6700 megabytes per second read in Crystal Diskmark, about 5000 megabytes a second write, also in Crystal Diskmark, Atto Disk Benchmark, around 5600 megabytes per second read, and about 4600 megabytes a second write in there. And then we have our score for Anvil storage utilities and all of that. So I think it sits right in the middle, which is fine. I think that Crucial really, they don't market this drive as a gamer drive or an enthusiast drive. It's more of a value drive, much like Samsung's, what is it?
Their
SSD 980, I forget. Not the Pro. They have another one that's a Gen 4 that's just, you know, kind of like their plain value drive. And I think this is a value drive. This is a drive that if you're moving from a typical SATA SSD, you're going to see great improvement. And if you're moving from a traditional hard drive, it's going to be night and day. But it's very fast. It will throttle if you don't cool it. So it does not come with any type of cooling, no heat sink included. Now, most of the motherboards that will support this do come with heat sinks built in. We've seen that, but just in the case that you don't, it will throttle. We tested that and saw that on AutoDisk Benchmark. You can see it's running, no problem. And then it throttles, and then it kind of gets it back, and then it throttles again. If we compare that to the actual, with a heat sink, you can see this is what it would normally look like, just solid across the board. So it will throttle. But if you have a heatsink on it, which most motherboards do, it shouldn't be an issue. And this is a pretty easy drive to cool because all of the components are on one side. So it's single-sided. You can use it in a PlayStation 5 as well for all those people looking to add storage to your PlayStation 5. You can do that here as well. And the price on this is $149.99 for the 1 terabyte version. 5-year warranty on that as well. So good price there. So I just think it's a good solid Gen 4 drive. And if you're looking to get a few of these, it's priced really well too. So, cool. So yeah, check out the review. Just make sure you cool it because it will
throttle. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That is the Crucial P5 Plus. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And we have a build that I saw 3 weeks ago and I was like, Gonna put this one on Case on Friday. So we have Project Eve. This is from Mark Van Acosta, and it's one of those builds that's just it's just clean.
The lines and the color contrast almost make it look like it's a render. Like some of the pictures, you know what I mean? You see some of those renders when new products are coming out, and they're always just like everything looks so perfect and so straight, and the colors are just separated so well. But yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. So this is part of the 2021 Ultimate Case Mod Invitational. The lines are great. The colors are great. It's just.
Well, and I like they've integrated the Thermaltake logo into the tubes almost, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thermaltake's logo is the TT. And it's kind of that look there.
I did not even notice that.
And it's another one where we're seeing a non-liquid cooled GPU. I think we talked about that last week or the week before, where a lot of these builds we've been seeing, not all of them have a liquid cooled GPU.
Yeah, so that's really interesting as well. I think that obviously helps with the lines and things being a little bit more cleaner, sure. Right?
Yeah.
Because you don't have anything coming from this GPU at all, really. See, there's a really great picture of the back of this because he posted in one of our groups on Facebook, and he posted this picture weeks ago. Look at the back. Oh.
Yeah, it's like the cable routing, just everything about that's great.
Yeah, the cable routing is excellent. Just all, man. Yeah, everything. Just Ryan, you got to step your game up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, send me some tools.
It's kind of hard to see, and I'm sure it will be hard to see on the stream, but these, all of these cables are wrapped in a clear heat shrink. Is that what that is?
I hadn't even noticed that, but I see the reflection in a couple spots.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Do you think he used tubing?
Yeah, that could be it, because all of it is held into place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, but it's just such a clean build. I'm the biggest fan of just super clean, sexy builds, and this is one of the best. Here you can see it with the lights on and everything. one of the better ones that I've seen for sure. It's just, yeah, just some awesome stuff there. I believe you can still vote on this too. Check out the his Facebook, which we have linked here, or this video, because I'm sure he has it in the video as well, where you can go ahead and vote on this if you want. But yeah, just great lines, just great colors. Old man
says it looks like blood on a snowy field, like in a samurai film after battle.
Yeah, that's kind of what it does look like, because that's what makes the lines stand out so much. So, I mean, if you look, you know, like especially like obviously like, you know, right here or even down here, it just stands out because there's nothing there. There's nothing else there. Right.
And although, yeah, everything else is like white in this.
Yeah.
Sure, the board has some silver and gray on it, but yeah, there's no other colors really.
Yeah. And also shout out to Old Man. Sorry, I was not looking at the chat. If you are in a live chat, definitely say what's up. It's good to see you here for another week, Old Man, to talk tech with us. But yeah, check that out, man. Like I said, this build got me excited when I saw it. And if you guys check out the thermal take, case mod, what is it? Case mod,
invitational.
Yeah, the Cooler Master is the World Series. I get them mixed up. But there's some amazing builds for the case mod invitational. They're just insane. So, this is just one of them. So, definitely check that out as well. And that brings us to news this week. And it looks like, we talked about it last week, but it looks like more people, accidentally got their Alder Lake CPUs. Some
early gifts. Yeah.
So Newegg accidentally shipped some to people, and then they freaked out and realized that they shipped them, and they called the customers and be like, don't post anything about this. And of course everybody went to Reddit and posted about it.
Of course.
But they were like, yeah, don't post anything, blah blah blah, you know.
What are you gonna do for me? Like, that would have been my question. I won't post it if you send over a motherboard or like.
Yeah, somebody on Reddit said it just got a voicemail from a lady, told me not to post anything until 11:04 to avoid any issues. Man, this is weird.
To avoid any issues.
This is one of the first times I think that we've seen the pre-orders get shipped early. I don't remember. We've seen leaks.
We don't see leaks and someone ends up with it. Yeah, but those are usually like...
The leaks are typically ESs or engineering samples a lot of the time, or reviews, or somehow got their hands on it. Like, this has been like... because there was... Last week, it was like the German e-tailer who sent them out early. And now we have Newegg sending them out early. So yeah. Pretty crazy stuff. Somebody who did get their hands on an i9-12900K overclocked it to 6.8 gigahertz.
Oof.
That sounds like a hefty overclock.
Had to be on LN2, right?
Yeah. Here's the picture of
I assume that's LN2 a picture farm. From this processor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this was done by Splave. Who's a pretty well-known overclocker, used an ASRock Z690 motherboard, 1600 watt EVGA power supply, and of course DDR5. So the performance cores were overclocked to 6.8 gigahertz, and then the Gracemont cores were overclocked to 5.3 gigahertz. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, this is pretty nuts.
I think we're going to see a lot of these.
It'll be interesting to see how, considering there's the, you know, the big little cores on these, seeing how that impacts overclocking. But if this is any indicator, probably getting pretty good results.
Yeah, I would hope so. I love to see overclocks. I know it's not as popular of a thing anymore, especially because the past few generations of Intel processors were a little bit harder to overclock, especially if you were just a newbie like me. But yeah, we'll see. So that's kind of good to see. I'm sure tomorrow is the embargo day, so I'm sure we'll see a lot of overclocking. We'll see what these processors can do in real world situations. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then Asus had, we talked about it last week, they had their, I guess it's like their big, I forget they called their live stream, but going over their Z690 motherboards and some other new products. And they talked about power supplies, and they talk about the new PCI Express Gen 5 cable. And this is going to ship with a lot of power supplies. It will ship with their new, I think it's their new, the Asus Thor 1000 Watt Platinum 2. It's the same connector as the NVIDIA one that came with their 30 series cards. It's basically the same one. The power on it's pretty interesting though. So, so the Gen 5 connector will be 9.2 amps, which delivers up to 662 watts in a single cable. So 662 watts plus we're getting from the slot would give you 675 watts maximum power on the graphics card. But if the graphics card had two Gen 5 cables, it could pull 1,275 watts.
Well, yeah. So the spec itself will deliver up to 662, but the power supply from Asus will supply 600 watts.
Yeah.
And then you get your onboard power.
Yeah. But I mean, just like 600 watts from a single cable.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then another 75 from the board itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just a lot of power, man. But yeah, if you haven't seen the Asus, I think you can probably, it's probably on their YouTube, you can rewatch the last, they have some really cool products, new power supplies, new AIOs, obviously new Z690 motherboards. They do a really deep dive on a lot of their Z690 boards. If you haven't seen that yet, a lot of cool stuff. So definitely check that out. What else do we have? So more sad news. Remember, like a couple weeks ago when we were like, yeah, GPU prices, they're going down. Like we're going to, you know, we're getting stock in. And I was always saying like, yeah, I saw people on Reddit saying they found these at MSRP and all that kind of stuff. And now,
you're here to tell me that's not true anymore.
Well, there's this graph that just came out that shows kind of where we're at. So if we look at this, obviously earlier this year, supply chain issues and things, you know, we went from, we had the massive spike. You can see the massive spike here, right? And then we were going on the downturn. So we went up to 300 on the NVIDIA side. We went up to 304% over MSRP. That's the high point that we went to. These are from Germany and Australia. This is from Germany and Australia. And then it went down, you know, May, June, July, you know, August, we were all the way down to 150%, or 50%. That's what it would actually be. And now we're taking this steady curve going back up the price scale. And this is on both AMD and NVIDIA side. So we kind of hit that low point in pricing. And now I assume because demand, as we get into holiday season, it's just more people are inside gaming. It's back to school season. So people are buying PCs. And then you have obviously holiday with people buying gifts. And, you know, I get my holiday bonus. I'm buying a computer, that type of stuff.
What I don't like about this graph is the dotted blue line. It represents the availability level of average, right, of all the cards. It's pretty high up there, right? Yeah. Yet our prices are continuing to go up. You know, when we see line dip all the way down, that's when you would expect those prices to be so high. And it is on a downward trend, so I can see the pricing going up. It's just that line is so much higher than it was a year ago.
Well, I do think, too, because of supply chain and other issues, the MSRPs are unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, that's why we reviewed that 3090 from Zotac. it was like $2,700.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the one that's in, and it has a nice cooler and better RGB lighting, but the one that's in my computer now was $1,499 when it launched. So, I mean, it's like, you know, almost double the price for better cooling and a slight overclock. It's not, you know, but that's what we kind of run into is, yeah, when the 30 series launched, NVIDIA said those MSRPs, those were realistic at the time with the availability of materials and other things. Now, with everything that's gone on the past year and a half, they can't meet that. And a lot of these companies have got a little greedy because they know people are going to buy, like, you know, they know you're, it's like Apple. It's the same thing. It's like, they know people are going to buy it. So
yeah,
we'll charge you this amount more. So yeah, we're on an upward trend, and I expect that to continue throughout the holiday season, January, February. And we'll see how things kind of go from there, but kind of sad to see.
Yeah.
Are you looking to do an upgrade? I know you were saying, you were talking about thinking about doing an upgrade.
I probably won't until 40 series.
Yeah.
Although I did see some hints of a, I don't know if we've got that on the news.
We do not.
No, the 3070 Ti with 16 gigs of memory kind of being floated out there.
Probably CES, huh? Yeah. January.
Yeah,
that'd be. Yeah,
but 40 series will be behind it soon enough, so I'll just probably wait for that.
If you're gonna be able to find it, that's gonna be the big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got some really interesting news. So I don't know if you guys remember, I know that I do, and I know that I always wanted one because they were mm-hmm. so well made. If you guys remember Case Labs, was a case company that made highly modular, highly like high end, all made of aluminum cases, mainly made for, I would say they were mainly made for water cooling. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yep, definitely.
They went out of business in 2018, partly because of tariffs and the price of aluminum getting higher and higher and higher. Also because there were a couple companies that copied their designs. We went over that multiple times before, but they went out of business. And it was kind of sad because they were an American company. And they made really, really great products. But it appears that they could be coming back. So the company and all the trademarks were purchased. And Case Labs, the new owner, has put out an online survey, which you can fill out. I assume what he's doing due diligence as far as like what people want and how many people know about Case Labs, because they are going to try to relaunch the company, I would assume, because I do believe there is that demand for that type of case, especially with how popular water cooling has got since 2018. And because people want, I mean, there's only a handful of super high-end cases out there. Like you have like the Corsair, was it 1000? The, you know, you have like mm-hmm. those. You have one from one company. They make this one crazy case, and maybe you have five of those to choose from. But with Case Labs, you had multiple to choose from in multiple different sizes. And you could, on their website, you could be like, I want this, I want this, I want this, which is really nice. So like if you get a Corsair case or any other case, it's just what it comes with. You have no option. When you would order a Case Labs case, you could pick, okay, I want the water cooling mounts. I want the divider in the case here. I want this, this, and this. You could really choose what you wanted. And I think we don't really have anything like that, do we?
I don't feel like it, no. There may be some of those smaller like custom cases. Yeah. And a lot of times like a lot of times they're in those micro or mini ITX form factors where you can do a little bit more customizing because they're just more one-off type builds. But yeah, Case Labs allowed you to just customize it quite a bit.
Yeah, so we'll obviously keep you guys updated on what happens. I would love to see them come back. It'd probably be a little bit of a while before they kind of get up and running and start taking orders and all of that stuff. But pretty cool to see. We always like a comeback story, so it'd be nice to see if they're coming back.
Well, I'd like to see a smaller version or a smaller case, you know.
They did have a couple small ones,
they did, but this was like that size of full tower case is what they were really known for, was just these large aluminum monoliths. But yeah, it's good news for sure.
Yeah. In the chat, Old Man said we were talking about graphics cards. He said there's a pre-built on Best Buy right with a 3080 Ti, 11700K, and 1 terabyte NVMe for $2,600. That's not a bad deal.
There's a system with a 3070 out there for, it was like, why'd I close it? I just had it open. Yeah, it was pretty affordable, honestly. Let's see here. Yeah, $1,850 for 11700K, 16 gigs of memory, a terabyte SSD, 3070 for $1,850.
That's not bad.
Get it in 2 days.
There you go. Hit buy now. Yeah, I mean, I think the graphics card, I mean, we always talk about Old Man and how he bought his pre-built to get his graphics card, and it's just,
he's a legend around here.
Yeah, I know that he's like the person who invested in Microsoft before it was Microsoft. You know what I mean? He's like that guy. You know, so let's see what else we have. Oh, this was really cool. So if you're into keyboards, you know I'm into keyboards. Ducky announced their 1-3 series. So we reviewed the 1-2 Mini, which I thought was a great little keyboard. They have announced their 1-3 series. So three different sizes. Obviously, you have full size, 10 keyless, and then 60%, and a bunch of different colors, PBT, double shot keycaps. I'll just go to the website to show you some of the different colors they have off the bat. They have this yellow, man.
That is bright.
This yellow is bright. I mean, look at this thing. Let's see if we can bring up.
I don't know if I can do that.
That is a bright, bright. They don't have I can't click and make this bigger. Yeah, just some very, 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 very bright colors. The one I really like, as far as the color wise, is
I like the daybreak.
The daybreak's cool. The mini daybreak with the
that green.
Yeah, with the green. And they're also using, what did they say, the new Switch. So they have an exclusive on Cherry RGB Clear Switch. So I guess it's going to be exclusive to them on this, at least for the time being. So that's pretty cool if you wanted to check out that new Switch. But here's some of the different color options that they have. That's a pretty cool looking keyboard as well. And That's the
next one. Some of those keycaps, the tops of them they don't look like your standard shape of keys on that daybreak or the previous one. Like the shift and the, look at the space bar. The top of them look a little different.
They do. That is a render. Let's see if they have a.
It looks more normal there.
Yeah, it does look more normal here. You're right. I wish there was is there just I can't click on any of these pictures. It's to make the picture larger. But in any case, the Ducky keyboards are, at least in my opinion, some of the best. Just the feel of them is amazing. And this is going to be the new generation. And they're going to have, I'm just like Ducky, they're going to have a bunch of new colorways and everything like that. These are just the ones launched. So you have the Daybreak, you have the Matcha, which is the lighter one over here, and then you have the Fuji, which is, I guess that's like a
enhance.
Enhance. I guess I could control plus in like this. Oh wait, no, I enhanced too much because it's a responsive website. That's But yeah, just like I said, I really like Ducky stuff. If you want a good pre-built, minus the IQ-Nix ones that I use, which I think are also very good, Ducky is one of the best out there. And I like it. Like I said, I like the colors, and I think these are going to be. Do they have? Let me go back to the website. I don't know if they had pricing on there or not.
Are they available already?
Hold on. Make this smaller. Maybe.
Can I just let's see here, the 1.3. Yeah. Well, at least with at mechanical keyboards. So like the the 1.3 65% is 130. The 60% is 120.
That's not bad, I would say.
The Matcha 10 keyless is 109. So yeah, I mean anywhere from like 109 to 160, it looks like, depending on the configuration.
Oh, and see, look, now we got some of the bigger. I like the 60%. Yeah, I mean, not horrible prices either, which I think is great. I think we got to get you the yellow one.
I have my frozen that sits over here.
What size of keyboard is like your go-to these days?
I mean, at work, I have a full numpad, you know, full-size keyboard.
Like a full-size,
That I use, but it's low profile mechanicals, low profile blues. Which I know you, I don't like blues, but I like them like low blues. Profile. And I don't know. I like them there, but like, I do like my 10 keyless Corsair that is my go-to main keyboard. Every now and then miss the numpad, but could I go with a smaller, like a 65 or something?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't know. So, I was using like the 96%, which gives you pretty much everything the numpad. And I thought I was going to miss the numpad, but I mean, I'm down to this one, which is the 80%. And I really, really like the 80%. I think it, for me, 60, you get down to 65 or 60, you do lose a lot, but it just feels so much more. The smaller you get, the more solid the keyboard feels, typically, at least in my opinion. So, yeah, I think I'm going to stick with this one for a while. I might get one of these duckies just to mess around with it, maybe. We'll see.
Got that bug.
At least I'm not on that bug where I'm building a keyboard for $800.
Building one. Yeah.
So cool stuff. Ducky 1.3 series. Maybe I'll buy one and review it. We'll see. Another mini ITX case that was announced this week. I think this is kind of interesting.
It's unique.
So this company called Teenage Engineering, they make a bunch of interesting products, but their new product is called the Computer One. It's a mini ITX case that ships like this, and you bend the tabs yourself, which I think this would be a fun project for like you and your son to do together. Yeah. I think that's, or I mean, obviously, if you were somebody buying this yourself, it would be a fun project to do yourself too.
Think how much cheaper it is to probably ship this too.
Yeah,
it's as a flat pack, right?
Yeah. It's $195. All aluminum.
Okay.
So this is kind of what it looks like once you put it all together. It's an interesting little design, I would say.
It is. I don't know about that fan, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure about that fan.
And just a single fan, I think, right?
Yeah.
But is the power switch, is it like a mechanical switch? It looked like a lever
switch. It does look like it's a lever, which is kind of cool.
That'd be kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be neat.
I think it's, like I said, it's like one of those kits. Like, I know a lot of mini ITX cases like kits, and I think this is one of those, but... Yeah, it's interesting to say the least. So
you need the monitor that they're showing in their picture.
The Ezio, yeah.
It's a square.
Yeah, it's like I forget what it's called. It's like a cat monitor. It's the Ezio something. I forget what it is. But yeah, I mean, that's what it would look like. I mean, that's like a full size keyboard, so it's pretty small. I like the little industrial design on it as well. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm just not sure about the cooling or lack thereof.
Yeah, or lack thereof. Yeah, that's the biggest issue I see with it. But pretty cool. So go ahead and check that out. And our last story for the week, which is pretty impressive, is that engineers were able to fit 500 terabytes on a CD-sized glass disk via 5D storage. That's pretty cool. The reason I put this on here is like, do you ever think this is really cool tech and it's obviously not for it's not consumer application. Yeah. But do you ever think we're going to go back to like that type of physical media?
I mean, maybe. When you say physical media, you mean like just because it's glass or what?
I guess.
I mean, we still have physical drives. Like you could put this thing in the form factor of a 3.5-inch.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a 2.5-inch SSD, right?
Yeah, I'm wondering how.
It's not like it's an optical drive.
Yeah.
It's using lasers, but it's not like a spinning disk or anything. I don't know. Either way, 5 terabytes is
crazy. 500 terabytes.
Or I'm sorry, 500 terabytes. Yeah.
Yeah. On something that's like the size of, you know, a CD. That's pretty cool. Pretty interesting stuff. Again, if this would even be used in something that we would use, it's years and years away. But
right. Like, I mean, I can imagine 500 terabytes of data. It's just like, not in mainstream right now.
Yeah, not at all, but pretty cool. It's just cool to see where things might go, and maybe we'll see something like this or like a data center type application for this.
It's where my consciousness will live on.
Yeah, download yourself.
That's right.
You sure it's only gonna be 500 terabytes?
I don't know. I hope there's enough room.
Yeah, no, you just live in the cloud. We'll just download you every couple years.
Yeah.
All right. So that is all of our news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a gaming headset, which is the, I'm pretty sure I'm saying it right, the Edifier GX, which it's a really cool looking headset. It's actually pretty comfortable as well. But yeah, it's a really interesting looking headset.
It has very interesting looking.
Edifier makes some really great audio products, so it's interesting to see, and they're more consumer-facing products, so it'd be interesting to see how this sounds and everything like that. You have 50-millimeter drivers and all that, so we'll see how this headset sounds, and of course, how the mic sounds and all of that. Also be taking a look at a motherboard, so the Gigabyte X570S Aorus Master. So this is kind of like the next generation of X570, X570S, really cool design and all of that. So we'll have, why won't this page? I'll say this page is not letting me scroll. It's like, I'm like scrolling and it's not scrolling, but then it is, it's weird. But in any case, I'll have that for you guys next week as well. And this is where we talk about tech. You did anything cool? See anything cool?
I got a couple products in to review, then excited about those, but. Yeah.
I watched Dune.
Oh yeah. How was that? I've heard it's great.
It's good. I know it's like they're setting it up for more than one movie, but it just the way it ended, it was just like, I'll just put it there. But the scenes in it were really good, like all like the special effects and like the sets were really like big, you know what I mean? And I don't feel that we've had a movie
because you had watched half of it last week, I think.
Yeah.
And you like watch half and okay. And then you finished it.
Yeah. Right. So I finished it. Yeah. Gotcha. So yeah, I liked it. And then I watched, wait, did I not put it in the, nope, didn't put it in the notes. I watched, let me find it. It's called, or no, it's not. Up here. Army of Thieves on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, it's a really cool movie because it's basically a prequel to the Netflix movie Army of the Dead. So if you saw that, which is like a kind of cool zombie movie, this is like before that. It's kind of cool because it tells the story of one of the characters, which is the thief in that movie. It tells his like how he became a thief, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's worth checking out. It's one of it's a good movie. I know Netflix and all the streaming services, like all of their movies are like either hit or miss, and I thought this was pretty good. It's worth watching. So yeah, check that out as well. And I guess it's time to game. I guess it's gonna be gaming night.
Yeah.
So season 11?
Yeah.
Or 10 season.
I feel like it's a I don't know now. Now you got me questioning. I don't remember.
Season 11. So we're on okay. Season 11 of Apex Legends. We have new legend, new map. So we'll definitely new be gun. Jumping in there. New gun. Just a lot. We're going to have some fun tonight. So head on over to twitch.tv/thinkpeters. We will be on there. There will not be a podcast next week because I will be traveling. But the following week, we will definitely be back. So again, guys, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for everybody who is in the live chat. And definitely, again, head on over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we'll see you there. Or if we don't see you there, we'll see you in 2 weeks.